engine also fluctuates during each day. That is, breaths could be or could vary between 17 and 20 per minute. So the reverse action is brought about by introducing rhythmic breathing. In Sutra 35, the sage says, those forms of concentration which are related to sense perception. We have already explained the meaning of perception, which is the quality of the individual mind that is not involved with the processes of conscious brain. Now, what is meant by relation to sense perception? It implies inward concentration on the spiritual man within. No sooner the man of matter directs his attention towards the inner spiritual man, the individual mind ceases to associate with the processes of conscious brain and acts only as a catalyst. When this happens, it is able to throw light. The conscious brain is able to understand more clearly. The modifications get steady and the intensity comes down as required. Finally, with the help of the refining and upgrading of awareness exercises, the granthis are dissolved. The lower psychic nature is purified and no longer indulged in. So the conscious brain will no longer indulge in negative types of modifications, and in this way the thinking instrument is sturdy. This happens without conscious effort from now onward, for the inner structure of acceptance is now altered. Spiritual leading. Again, I'll go from light on the path. Mary Collins has written in very beautiful language. What is spiritual leading? To read the local sense is to read with the eyes of the spirit. To read in the local sense is to read with the eyes of the spirit. To ask is to feel the hunger within. To be able to read means having obtained the power in a small measure, we can gratify that hunger. Steadiness and ease of posture is to be achieved through persistent slight effort and through concentration of the thinking instrument chitta upon the infinite. The posture here suggested is the posture of the thinking instrument. It's not the body posture. Nowhere has Maharishi pointed to any pranayama or any posture. He is here talking about the thinking instrument posture. That is why it says concentration of the thinking instrument and chitta upon the infinite. But how will it go? Steadiness and ease of posture is to be achieved. There is no, just say some people will do three-step rhythmic breathing for 1 hour one day, then for 6 days they will do nothing. But as I have given you the timetable, you see, there you will find steadiness and ease. You see, if you read those those two like papers are given you.
Like a relaxed.
So it should be steadiness. It should continuously be forward and more, but yet at ease.
What is
infinite? What is infinite? The infinite is the inner spiritual man, this part and parcel of God. But without your establishing communication, and the first step is to establish communication with the external man and internal man.
Only after that.
But then if you do not do anything, that after will never come. So you understand now, he is a steadiness and he is a posture. They are not contradictory. It may go steadily but slowly.
Because again when you were reading this, you said at one point the effort is dropped.
Yes. Once you achieve a thing, then it becomes effortless.
Effortless.
And the real life to live is to live without effort. But unless you are putting world of an effort, you cannot reach a stage where you can live without effort. You get that? If I give you, all of you, a piece of paper and pencil and ask you to write down broadly how you spend your 24 hours, none of you will be able to give me a satisfactory explanation of how you spend those 24 hours. And yet, you will not have 5 minutes for practice. To sleep 8 hours. You work 8 hours, and you wait 8 hours, 24 is over, finished. You account it for 24 hours, isn't it? Go home and try to write down what I do in my 24 hours, and you will find that you are doing nothing. You are just simply wasting your time. But you are not prepared to spend 15, 20, 30 minutes for sex. When steadiness and ease of posture of the thinking instrument is achieved, when this is achieved, the pairs of opposites no longer prevail. A man lives in the past and the future, the first important pair of opposites. Right? Any attempt not to live like that is not possible. To be free from it to a certain extent is possible. But without effort, what is? Nothing. Because without practices, steadiness and ease of posture of the thinking instrument is not possible. When that is achieved, the pairs of opposites no longer prevail. When right posture, we are only talking about the thinking instrument posture, when right posture has been attained, there follows what? Right control of prana and proper inspiration and expiration of breath. You see? There are two ways in which you can do. You bring about the steadiness of the thinking instrument and your breathing changes from non-rhythmic to rhythmic, from unsteady to steady. Or you practice rhythmic breathing and your thinking becomes steady and rhythmic. So he has given you both the methods, whatever you want to take. But for the last 50,000 years, 100,000 years, all those who have tried to come by the other method of steadiness of the chitta and then coming of the rhythmic breath, all have failed. That is why we take the easier path. We start with the rhythmic breath so that the steadiness and ease of the thinking instrument is brought about. But who cares? How many of you do rhythmic breathing for 1 hour? I lost my vote of confidence again. Doctor, I lost my vote of confidence again. 40% again, 60 again. Yeah, one individual. Here there are 60 who have been here with me for ages. And yet when they don't raise their hand, I have lost my vote of confidence.
absolute. Forget everything. Read once again. When right posture has been attained, there follows right control of prana and proper inspiration and expiration of breath. Right control of prana, life force, is external, internal or motionless, it is subject to place, time and number, and is also protected or great. If you have done the three step Vedic breathing, if you have done the phase exercise, then when you will be doing later in future the sub phase and the various other nine steps, you will see that the breath is protected, the breath is long or short, is hot or cold, all that will be experienced when you do these practices. Because ultimately a control is to be brought over our breathing, so that it becomes not only rhythmic, but effortless. You don't have to put your mind to it. Just that today into your wrong breathing, it just goes on without your attention. So with perfect effort, finally you will have to come to a stage when your rhythmic breathing is effortless. And it is described in short by the Maharishi as, right control of prana is external, internal, motionless. It is subject to place, time and number, and is also protected or breathed. The details is given to accepted disciples. And you have the good fortune to get those details. And I have the bad fortune to know that you are not practicing. Okay, let's go further. Don't laugh, don't smile. Not a subject to laugh. Pratyahara is the subjugation, calming of the senses by the thinking principle and the withdrawal from that which has hitherto been the object. Pratyahara, detachment. People detach themselves from their wife and children and family and job and house and home, take sannyas and go to the Himalayas. The thing that is detachment. Giving up all obligations and duties, the thing is detachment. Detachment is detachment without individual mind from thinking instrument, from the processes of thinking instrument. That is to be brought about by certain practices. Upgrading of awareness to prism, three exercises with prism and two exercises without prism, tear away the individual mind from the processes of conscious brain. There is nothing in the universe which can do otherwise. In old days, teachers made their pupils sit by the riverside and just look into the water. Or take a vessel with water, clean vessel, and make them look into the vessel. But the easiest thing and the most difficult thing in the world is to just look. Is to just look. If I look at you for 5 minutes and I don't see whether you are wearing glasses or a shirt is yellow or blue, I just look at you. Get that point? In 1 second if I observe that you have a pair of glasses and your shirt is white, I am not looking. I am trying to see, observe. You get my point? So just look. So the upgrading of awareness. See, if the awareness is not upgraded, then we remain animals. We are partly animals. If we have to be totally human, the awareness that we are today enjoying must be lifted up enormously. Upgrading of awareness exercises are very, very essential. How many of you are doing them? Again, I was lost by a huge majority of doctors. It is painful, doctor. Who will get this benefit? no one. Because you refuse to believe in the goodness of this existence. To reach the stage of pratyahara, by any means, you might require a million years and you won't do it. In one lifetime, if you practice upgrading 5 exercises, you will realize what pratyahara is, what dana is, what jnana is. You have to refuse to accept a good fortune. So, pratyahara is the calming of the senses but the thinking principle and the withdrawal from that which has hitherto been the object, the withdrawal. You see, when you look, just look into the prison, the river of thought will keep flowing. What you did yesterday and what you did 10 years back and what you want and what you don't want. Don't philosophize, don't wait to see, don't try to act. Just keep looking. And if you're honest in just looking, what will happen, you know? My one way of punishing my staff was not to take any disciplinary action against them. I had one chair in a corner where he had to sit for 3 days and do nothing. The whole office will keep working. He will sit there, do nothing. He will be disregarded by the whole office and myself. To disregard a person is the greatest punishment you can ever give, you see. And when the river of thought is trying to push before you your life's event and you disregard it, just sit and look. It will be humble. Your thinking instrument, it looks so powerful, will be humble. And in a few days you'll come and say, what can I do for you? Tell me, how should I behave? But you must learn the art of just looking. So when you look into the prism, you are exercising that art of looking. And if you manage to get that art of just looking, the most powerful thing created by God in the universe, the human being, will surrender. But you will not try it, so you won't know it. If you try it, you'll know it and you'll tell me next month what your experience. As a result of this means, what happens? There follows the complete subjugation of sense organs. All the senses and the sense organs become quiet because the thinking instrument has accepted defeat. When you disregard it, it will accept its defeat. And when it is defeated, senses and sense organs come to their senses. So to get all this, all you have to do is the 5 minutes practice with prism. 5 minutes. But who is the time? You must have 5 minutes more than 24 hours in a day. We are talking about pratyahara, detachment. The sutra talks of detachment without detaching. As in book 115, freedom from longing of all objects of desire. We do not detach ourselves from our family and our possessions. But what we do? Freedom from longing of all objects of desire. That is detachment. It also talks of detaching the primary body from the secondary body. You know, men, you will succeed in detaching the individual mind from the thinking instrument. You will be ready for the higher practices of detaching the astral from the physical. You get my point? But if you cannot detach your individual mind from the brain, from the thinking instrument, the higher practices of detaching the physical from the astral is not possible. What is the benefit you are going to get? You will hear me at home for a second time, for a third time, for a fourth time. But I will not see him like this once or twice or thrice. Okay. The sequence of mind state, thinking instrument, is as follows. The mind reacts to that which is seen. Then follows the moment of mind control. Then ensues the moment wherein the chitta responds to both these factors. Finally, these pass away and the perceiving consciousness has full sway. He is talking about the thinking sequence that is developed. The present thinking sequence is, I see and I react. I hear and I react. But when the thinking instrument has been calmed, what is the sequence? The sequence of mind state is as follows. The mind reacts to that which is seen. Then follows the moment of mind control. Then ensues a moment wherein the chitta responds to both these factors. Finally, these pass away and the perceiving consciousness has full sway. The difference, the author is trying to explain in detail the difference between reaction and response. Reaction and response. As long as the thinking instrument is not calmed down, there will be only reaction. There will be no moment, there will be no moment of pause, there will be no moment of attempt to control, nothing will take place. There will be a straight away reaction. Anger, fear, assault, running away. One of these is immediate, without further thought. But when the thinking instrument is calm, it is able to follow a different sequence altogether. The mind reacts to that which is seen, then follows a moment of mind control, then ensues a moment wherein the chitta responds to both these factors, that means reaction and the incoming impulse. Finally, these pass away and perceiving consciousness is full sway. Neither the incoming impulse nor the reaction takes place, but a calm, thoughtful result follows. Through cultivation of this habit of mind, there will eventuate a steadiness of spiritual perception. The establishing of this habit and restraining the mind from its thought-making tendency results eventually in the constant power to contemplate. All these three sutras, book 3, 9, 10 and 11 are near impossible to accomplish. Because, as I told you just now, in the last 50,000 or 100,000 years,
not one man has succeeded directly, will be one of those billions and millions who have failed. That is why Sage Patanjali tells us, follow the practices, the sutras and the tantras, the exposition and the practices. Follow the practices. And then all these you, which is practically impossible, you will be able to achieve directly. Symmetry of form, beauty of color, strength and compactness of the diamond constitute bodily perfection. See, the bodily perfection is a very great index of showing the perfection of the mind, of the state of emotions and of the psychic nature. I can understand those who have crossed the 50, they will not have that same perfection. But when a person is young, when he is 25 or she is 25, up to the age of 35 or 40, there must be a perfection of form which will continue in later years also. But the perfection of form at this age is a very great indication of a total control of the thinking instrument, of the emotions, of the psychic nature. Because physical body perfection is very, very essential. Between my age of 17 and my age of 37, I had a chart wherein neck, shoulders, bicep, tricep, abdomen, waist, thighs, calf, ankle, they were to a millimeter kept to them. It is very essential to work very hard on oneself. There is no other way. I am not asking you now at this age to work hard on yourself, outwardly, physically. It is too late now. Many of you may not be able to bend as I would bend today. But I am talking about the other practices which you can do at any age. So, the author, the sage, makes it very clear here as an indication. Symmetry of form, beauty of color, strength, and the compactness of the diamond constitute bodily perfection. If you ask an elephant to crush a diamond, the diamond will go through the elephant's leg. It is compact. Between 17 and 37, I used to do 350 done. 300 knee dips with 80 pounds weight, and my waist was 27. See, compact, you can't compact that body further, so compact. See, one has to work externally, internally, it's very essential. Transfer of consciousness from the lower vehicle to the higher is part of the great creative and evolutionary process. Evolution itself is nature's grand process. But when we talk about nature, we are not to talk in hours, days, years. We have to talk by a few billion years, a few million years. That is nature's process of evolution. and it happens. Even the internal evolution which nature is not supposed to bring about, she will bring about. You will be able to do, achieve without doing the refining exercises or the three-step rhythmic breathing in the next 10 million years. Easily, you will do it. You see? But if you have to do it in one lifetime, you have to work on yourself. There is no other way. What does the Maharishi say? The transfer of consciousness from a low vehicle into the higher is part of the great creative and evolutionary process. Most of you, I think, are going to follow the same evolutionary process. The activities of the liberated soul are free from the cares of the opposite. Those of other people are of three kinds. From these three kinds of karma emerge those forms which are necessary for fruition of effect. See, we all know that there is an unending chain of birth and death. That the next birth, the next body, the next structure, the next balance or imbalance of qualities will be exactly as you last left over. This is within your means or power to change. If you change, you are born with a new set of structure, new set of balance, near balance qualities. But you refuse to change. You refuse to change. And then in a million lifetimes, you will be the same as you are now. And nobody will be able to help you. Nobody will. Who is going to ask you in your next birth, have you done your refining exercise? I am not going to ask you in your next birth. From these three kinds of karma emerge those forms which are necessary for the fruition of effect. Desire to live being eternal. These mind-created forms are without known beginning. You see, it is said that the one reason for taking birth is because our mind has desired to continue to live. Our mind has desired to continue to live. In a way, I can't blame a human being, because even today with all the scientific advances, with a very powerful telescope, we are not able to see another world like this world where we can live even as good a life as we can live here, or better. So, the desire to live on this planet, this it's very human, it's very natural. But to come and live again in a better way is what is wanted. And that calls for personal efforts. In Gita, Lord Krishna makes it very clear. I am no man's friend and no man is my enemy. He makes it very clear. No man is my friend and no man is my enemy. In the Hindu shastras, God trying to interfere in our life is out. We interfere in our own life. Ourselves we interfere.
That is what the sastras say. We ourselves make ourselves unhappy. We create for ourselves another life which will be unhappy. You get my point? God does not interfere in our life. He has evolved your human body brain system up to a limit. Now you evolve yourself into better being. If you want another life, live a better being. Can you open any day the morning paper and read something worthwhile? All over the world there is killing, looting, bloodshed. Nothing else you can read. Why? Because the human structure refuses to go higher and higher. Nobody is a bad man. Our structure is bad. With that structure we cannot hope to do anything good. I will not discuss with you, sit and discuss with you. I will rather kill you and get my way. You see? Because my structure says that only and nothing else. You give a dish of milk to cobra, it will drink it and sting you. Not because it is ungrateful, but what else can it do? Without stinging, what else can it do? It can't say, thank you very much for your milk. No, it can't say it. You see? So that structure is very important. If we don't change our structure, the news in the morning paper will be the same 50,000 years later. And that structure is with us. To change that structure is with us. I can understand you can't change your structure if you don't know how. But how can I forgive you when you have told how to change your structure and yet you don't?
How is it that some people, they at least make an effort to change the structure, some people do not, some people do not look at it already?
Opportunity is the karma. But what about getting the opportunity and not doing? I am asking that.
Is that karma?
No. It's mental inertia as you have learned in first book. Bodily inability, mental inertia, these are the obstacles to soul cognition. Did you read it in the very first book? Mental inertia. You know these exercises, these practices will help you, but mental inertia. I'll do it tomorrow. There is always a tomorrow.
How do we remove this mental inertia?
What a lovely question it is. The question is how to remove mental inertia. Remove the brain from the skull. Jokes aside, you see, mental inertia is a state brought about by a collection of emotional structure. You get my point? When certain negative emotions are allowed to accumulate, then there is a preponderance, a majority of brain cells saying no and a minority of brain cells saying yes. And every time these minority of brain cells want to say yes and do, the no says, theek hai, abhi kal karega. That is mental inertia. There is only one way, three-step rhythmic breathing, which infuses a certain rhythm in those negative cells and changes them slowly in 6 months or 12 months time into positive cells, with the result that the majority of cells will say yes and minority of cells will say no, and you will get over that mental inertia. Get my point? I have told you that your granthi is here, 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 here. I have told you. And for that we are doing refining exercise to break these granthis. These are emotional granthis. Just as there are some emotional granthis in the brain cell, there are emotional granthis all over the body. You see? With the result that we might like to do something and the majority of cells will say no, and we are not interested. You get my point? You will get very enthusiastic and say, come tomorrow, I'll get up at 5 o'clock, do my exercises. At 5 o'clock, the alarm goes. You close it. Because the majority self says, no. You get my point? Your enemy is within you, not outside of you. And to change this enemy, the majority of negative self into positive self, we have to do this three-step rhythmic breathing, this refining exercises. It is for our own good we have to do this. And then that mental inertia, bodily inactivity will be put aside. And then without the alarm, before 5 o'clock you will be up. Because all your cells say, yes, let's do it. Just as if it is to picnic, you have to get up early tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you jump out of the bed. But for exercises, no. You get my point? The enemy is within us, not outside.
In number 8, in number 8, it says for...
Book 4.
The fusion of effects. Why is the fusion of effects and not causes?
You see, effect is a cause fulfilled. What is an effect? The effect is a fulfillment of the cause. This life is the effect, fulfillment of the cause of an earlier life. So, fusion of effects now will lead to fusion of effects in the next now. You get my point? We are today enjoying not the cause, but the fusion of effects. And if we don't change, the fusion of effects again will repeat. Cause has been there. Effect is here now, today. If the effect, now if we don't change, the structure of acceptance, it will be again a recurring effect again. You get my point? One cause is enough to create effect from effect to effect to effect same. Unless we change the effect, then there's a new cause. Today if I change the result of this effect on my body, and change the negative into positive, I'll change the structure. It has become now a cause for a new effect. But if there is no effort to change the effect comes to effect to effect to effect. There is no new cause now. You get the fruition of effect. Desire to live being eternal, this mind created forms are without known beginning. Mind created. See, enemy is within us. Whatever is happening is because of something within us. The mind creates the form which we will take. The mind creates the structure we will have. If so much is within your hands, let us do it. Let us do it. What is not in your hands, I can understand. You can't do it. But what is in your hands to change your structure is in your hands. Do it. You get my point now? Now what? These forms being created and held together through desire, the basic cause, personality, the effective result. You see, personality, the effective result. The will to live and the support of the outward going life, when these cease to attract, then forms cease likewise to be. First, the effect to effect, effect will continue. Then you change the effect and bring about the cause of improvement. Then the effects are improved effects. Again there you improve. Again you set a cause to improvement. And as you go on improving the effect cause, a day will come and there will be no need to take a human body. But this is strictly within you and strictly as per laws. The laws will carry out what you will create. They cannot carry out anything against your will. And this is the greatest blessing you have, that the laws can only carry out what you wish to create for yourself. You follow me? If you wish to create $5 million, in the next birth, this $5 million